for proceeding.
Thank you. May I please report? My name is Angela Hanson, and together with Elizabeth McKenna, we represent the appellant, Joe Tracy. Ms. Huber was convicted of Mexico. She transferred to the United States pursuant to a treaty with Mexico, and then the United States Constitution determined what to proceed. The only issue on this appeal is whether or not the commission erred when it denied her the third point of her responsibility under the United States Sentencing Guideline 3E1.1.
What's that standard of review?
It's clear error to the extent the court needs to determine that, make a factual determination. And in this case, that factual determination would be whether or not Ms. Huber recanted at trial for an appeal. However, for the legal argument of whether or not the court correctly, the commission correctly interpreted the guideline calculation, that standard review is de novo, Your Honor, because it involves application of the sentencing guideline.
With respect to the clear error standard, I read the translation of the proceedings in Mexico, and I have to say that there's some ambiguity in my mind as to what if I had to guess, I would guess based on the not guess, I would think that the next court, the first appeal, was referring to the trial, which was like actually in a confrontation with witnesses. It seems more likely a trial to me. But I can't tell that for sure. So how can we conclude that any error here is clear when it is far from clear what the facts are?
You know, I have two answers to that question. The first answer is directly looking at the record. I agree with Your Honor. It's difficult to determine what was happening because all we have is the Mexican court transcript. You don't have the trial transcript. However, if the court looks at the excerpts of record at page 9 of the Mexican appeal, that ER9 suggests that they were actually hearing on appeal, Your Honor. A final hearing was on June 2nd, 2006. The case was decided in the trial court in November of 2005, almost 8 months before. So they will be hearing the appeal, and the appellate court decided on June 16th.
And now, at the hearing, were the witnesses present at the hearing?
They were. And so, do you want to...
The officers were present?
The officers were present at the appellate hearing.
And how do we know that?
Well, it appears because if you look at the conduct of the appellate record, Your Honor, and they're hearing now before the excerpt of record pages 9-31. That's subsection 2, labeled body of the crime. Specifically, excerpt of record page 25. In those pages, what's detailed, it seems, and again, it is hard to discern, but what is detailed is what happened in the lower trial. And there, at ER 25, where Ms. Huber's confession begins. And her full statement there, without any interpretation. If Your Honor looks right before Ms. Huber's confession in detail on ER 25, look at the statement at Music Trial of right there, it says that Francisco Toledo Escada did not ratify the above statement before the judge.
Which judge?
I don't know. But
that's the point, but it's clear.
But it seems like what they're referring to is that he did not ratify it before the court itself. So
which court?
Before the trial court. There is no such recantation in those pages, ER 9 through 31, or Ms. Huber. It only comes later in the appellate transcript when witnesses are being confronted by her, and it appears given that there was an actual appellate hearing on June 2nd, 2006, after the confusion to line appeal, and Ms. Huber was correct. Additionally, Your Honor, Ms. Huber proffered at the full commission hearing that the recantation happened on appeal. She was willing to testify as such. That was never.
Why would it make a difference for us whether she recanted? If she's got a hearing because witnesses are present on appeal, which is very different from an American procedure. But if we had witnesses here, and she came in and was able to confront the witnesses and recanted her testimony or challenged the officer's testimony, Why would we then conclude she accepted responsibility?
Well, you're not a child, then.
Right, but we have a very different proceeding there, and that's sort of a quasi-trial. It's sort of a second trial is a truncated procedure.
Exactly, it is. We have to fit 3B1.1 to be unique circumstances.
But how she accepted responsibility and sort of not put them to the test, if she goes up before the appellate court, she can't do that for them.
Your Honor, that's drafted language, the guidelines, in place, Mr. Cedar was convicted, nothing more, and the committed only internal application of two cases, Lanco, and the second one is Gracidas, that both of them are agreed. Those cases, that a defendant may give a state full and complete confession before trial, recant, and then go to trial, and still receive the 3.47, because the issue is whether or not they gave the full and complete statement. And, Your Honor, that's why the second answer to your question is, it doesn't matter for this court to decide in the issue of favor whether she recanted at trial or on appeal, because the guideline issue in this case and the application of the commission adopted L3B1 provides specific methods and procedures. You see, Ms. Huber didn't have the opportunity, Your Honor, to plead guilty. She didn't have it provided that opportunity, so she had to go to trial. Therefore, the amendment in 2003 to the second responsibility guideline just do not fit the precise principles we have here. The amendments added two additional elements for wanting to receive a defendant to receive a second responsibility. Not only do you need to give a full and complete statement, a government order to make a motion, and you must avoid fraud.
So the commission has to forget that to the next procedure. The court has to say this is the wrong equivalent. So again, my question is she recanting on appeal? Whether she's recanting at the trial level or whether she's recanting on appeal, she's putting the state to additional trouble. And why should we be giving her 2 points? Should we give her a third point for acceptance of responsibility?
Because again, it is a the precise issue under the guideline and the commission's own internal application says that it is whether or not she made a full and complete statement before her arrest, after her arrest before trial. That's the only issue. And Lanco, that case I cited, and also Garcia's confirmed that that's the only issue. If one can't before appeal, it's irrelevant. And that's because the commission's internal proceeding, Your Honor, I'd like to read to the court the commission's own internal guideline for this precise situation. Like Your Honor said, we have to adapt it to the Mexican proceeding. And that internal application gives the example, it says that the defendant, and that's attached on to the opening brief, where a defendant gave a full confession shortly after arrest. That is the example they give for the third point to be awarded. In a foreign jurisdiction, a defendant is allowed to receive the 2 points, even if they contest trial the entire proceeding and never give.
But if we get to the internal proceeding, she definitely doesn't get the third confession.
If we apply
the internal.
Oh, well, she absolutely, I think it's the opposite. Well, she absolutely does. The internal proceedings, the internal guidelines of the commission say, one from Mexico, a country like Mexico, where there is no ability to plead guilty, you have to go to trial. Just by coming to the United States and admitting to the commission that you're guilty, you get you the first 2 points.
Right, but you don't get the third.
Oh, you do, Your Honor. Under subsection 3A, it says if the information was full and timely, then we'll get a third point. And they give the example of where a defendant gave a full confession shortly after the arrest. That is just like Ms. Huber. She gave a full, detailed, complete confession that is uncontested in this record by the law.
So you want a 4-year reduction in the sentence? Is that what you're looking for?
It's about 3 years, Your Honor.
32 months, that's what you're seeking?
We're seeking that the commission, or remand, that the commission correctly apply the guideline.
Right.
And then redetermine the sentence. And
redetermine, or do you want, you're asking that the guideline be adjusted, okay? If she already was sentenced below the guideline.
She was. But as in the last
case, it was on an either case.
Right. Your Honor, I do want to save time for rebuttal. May I answer your honest question?
Okay, go ahead.
Even if the commission provided a departure or a 3553A variance from the guideline, the commission first must correctly apply the sentencing guidelines. That has to happen first. And it has to be remanded for that consideration. Then the commission can make its determination under 3553A what the variance should be. Now, if the commissioner had said, even if I were to apply that third point, this is the same sentence, then we would agree that this case could not be remanded.
Sounds like the last case.
But that's not what happened here. The commission made no such findings.
Let me ask you this about the internal proceedings. So you say under 3E1.1 that your client fits under 3A rather than 3B? Is that your argument?
She fits under both PR, 3A and 3B.
Well, 3B says that if the defendant gets the two-level adjustment, that defendant is not eligible for the three-level adjustment.
Applications of the guideline, because the commission's decision to deny Huber's request for a third level reduction was not clearly erroneous. The sentencing guidelines at section 3E1.1b provide that an offender's offense level can be decreased by a third level if the offender assisted authorities in the investigation or prosecution of his own misconduct by timely notifying authorities of his intention to enter a plea of guilty, thereby permitting the government to avoid preparing for trial and
permit no guilty plea. They don't have that process in Mexico. So how do you translate that to the Mexican plea?
Well, we look at the other part, the end part, and permitting the government and the court to allocate the resources efficiently. And we determine in the totality of circumstances, so entire record, whether it is akin to the United States of plea of guilty.
So in this case, what's the government's position regarding whether or not the proceedings were akin to a guilty plea?
It was not akin to a
guilty plea. Why not?
Although she initially confessed in writing to the prosecutor, to the police, she did recant at trial and on appeal.
I don't know if she recanted at trial. That was sort of rubbing opposing counsel. So where is it in the transcript of the next proceedings that we know she recanted at trial?
Our interpretation of that is based on the translation that we have as the court stated.
What page is the record?
I'm looking at page 34 to 35.
Is that ER 34?
Yes, ER 34, 35. And on those pages, it talks about how she challenges what the police officer stated, that she can't speak Spanish, that she doesn't read Spanish. That's why she could not have given or signed a statement confessing. And also because on the record, it states on page 1, it's the fifth record, has been reviewed, is now ready for ruling on the record.
How do we know that that was done at trial and not a proceeding on appeal?
Well, it's the commission's recent interpretation of these documents.
What makes the commission can have concluding that this was done at trial rather than at
because the
Huber's counsel said that on appeal they're actually this hearing, that there were witnesses, including the officers, at this hearing on appeal.
It's not clear that there were witnesses at the hearing. It is reasonable for the commission to interpret it as all these witnesses at the trial, because it does say that this record was reviewed, that this was reviewed on the record, and that briefs. Also on page 3 of the extended records, it says once the file and the briefs were received. So it referenced that there were briefs that were filed, and it referenced that there was a record that was reviewed. It does not clearly state that there were witnesses that were presented. And so it was the commission's interpretation that that these witnesses were referred to on page 34 and 35 of the excerpted record, page 38 and 39, where it talks about her recanting about the circumstances with the police officer signing the statement that this did happen at the trial. The hearing examiner reasonably concluded that the situation of a Mexican defendant who recanted at trial was materially different from the situation contemplated by the commission's supplemental instruction, as she as we see in the excerpt record on page 8, because she clearly states that this is a different situation. So our internal manual would not apply in this situation. And also, as the binding law of this circuit, we're not mandated to follow our instructions, even if it did apply to the situation. The commission considered Huber's conduct during her foreign trial in determining whether she accepted responsibility in Mexico in a manner equivalent to making a guilty plea in the United States. Had Huber confessed and not later recanted at trial or on appeal, the commission can reasonably infer that her trial would have been less complex and that the prosecution would not have had to marshal witnesses.
For the commission's purposes, does it make a difference whether she recanted at trial or whether she recanted on appeal?
No. In both cases, it's not akin to a guilty verdict or a guilty plea here in the United States. She obviously, and she admits that she recanted on appeal, but we believe it also is a reasonable reflection of the record that she also recanted at trial. Also, the version of the guidelines that Ms. Huber references does not apply to her situation. The cases that are cited, were before the 2003 amendment to the sentencing guidelines. The guidelines that apply to her, because she was sentenced on November 19, 2005, are the November 1st, 2005 version of the guidelines. And that language doesn't just talk about timeliness and completeness of the confession, but also talks about how the court allocates its resources efficiently. So, her reliance on those cases, Blanco and Cepeda's, are misplaced, because under the law that is applicable to Huber, we must also look at how resources are allocated, both at the trial and at the appellate level. If there are no other questions from, I will, from the panel, conclude.
All right, thank you, counsel. There appears not. We'll give you 2 minutes for rebuttal, counsel.
Mr. Boland, I'd like to ask your question. The court present for what section 3B applies where a defendant confesses to entire proceedings in Mexico, never takes a self-incriminating statement. So, Your Honor, is correct. 3A would apply.
Well, I was just asking you. I'm not.
I think I misspoke earlier, Your Honor, so I want to correct that. Thank you. 3A is a precise situation, and the internal guidelines say that the defendant qualifies for the 2-point reduction, which Ms. Huber did, and self-incrimination. Self-incriminating information was provided fully in a timely manner, for example, where a defendant gave full confession shorthand for arrest, the defendant is eligible.
So if he applies, she would not get the
and that's right. And that would be the situation where any defendant who contests all of the proceedings in Mexico comes to the commission and then finally admits guilt, that person will get the 2-point automatically. And that's what she was referring to.
Now, 3A says that if you cooperate this way, the defendant is eligible for an additional 1 month. Well, that doesn't suggest that the defendant gets 1 month. It does say that they're eligible for 1 month. So it sounds like there's still some discretion in the parole commission. Let me ask the question I asked the government's counsel. if she decanted in a proceeding of appeal and not at trial, why would it make, why does it make a difference?
Because the true purpose of the acceptance of responsibility guideline, as Judge Paul stated in the Blanco case, is to reward a defendant who is contrite. And this,
She's denying, she's putting the appellate court to its level, and there's a, there's granting her grounds that she can't only be candid on appeal. But the Court of Appeals has to go through a whole lot more here to address all of this.
Well, the analogy, Your Honor, would be to a situation where a defendant took an appeal after a plea of guilty and appealed the sentence. There's a whole lot of resources that are
No, that would be quite different. That's where we have a plea of guilty and then they take an appeal because they were not guilty.
Well, then we have to go back to what Mr. Gowan said in 2001, time to see his defense, and the case is wrong on Mercedes, which said it's okay to go to trial and confess your guilt, as long as you give a full and complete confession.
But what about on the opposing counsel's point that the guy was in effect in 2005?
That finally gets the extractive clause for the one thing, but the second, more important point,
What would be ex post facto about that? Shouldn't she be charged under Mexican law, not under American law?
Well, the guidelines in place at the time of her offense would have to apply. The guidelines in 2003 resulted in a more severe penalty and a higher guideline range. It would, of course, have to apply.
The penalty is being imposed by Mexico. It's not being imposed by the United States. All we're doing is just judging by the corresponding sentence in the United States.
I'm sorry, the question would be the ex post facto violation would be applying the 2003 version of the guidelines. Instead of the version of the guideline in place at the time of the offense, which guideline 1B4.1 addresses. But
the point is that she wasn't sentenced in America.
Oh, but she heard the offense, when she did the offense, the guidelines say under 1B1.11 that if you apply the guideline in place at the time the person committed the offense, if it turns out that the guidelines at the time of the sentencing are higher.
Resulting in a higher guideline. That's the.
All right.
Did you want to sum up?
Yes, please put out
the application
for this
investigation
of the guideline. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Welcome. Case is already submitted for decision by the court.